Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP. Joining me, as always, co-host, the man, Mr. Nick Martin. Nick, how you doing today, good sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. It's hot in this studio. Again, as always, we got to get through this summer thing.
I know. We need to get a bigger studio. You have your nice air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike this one, which looks cool in AC, but it's not real. Joining us today is a real cool fellow, man. He's a personal trainer guru and Instagram star. And today, and as always, most importantly, I'm assuming he's a dad. Welcome to the show, Joel Staley. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me, JP and Nick. Good to be here.
Yes, it is. I'm so glad you're here, man. So you are a dad, yes?
Yeah, we have a two-year-old daughter that keeps us busy, and we just got word. Well, we haven't announced this to people yet.
Is this an official announcement?
Exclusive.
Oh, man.
Twins on the way.
Oh, congratulations. I got to drop this.
Austin.
Trying to catch up with Nick. Nick, don't you have like six?
I have six, yes.
Man, I got a lot of catching up to do still.
He's got like 327. Don't let him fool you, man. Wow, well, congratulations. Now, you just found this out. How far along are we?
She is almost 10 weeks, about 9 weeks.
Okay. Well, Joel, since this is a this show, we're recording it obviously today in early August, but we are so far ahead of the game that this particular episode is probably going to drop sometime October-ish. Unfortunately, you got to hold that secret in now until August or until October till we can drop this episode.
Actually, good. Now that was a clip.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. My wife's probably listening downstairs like, you told him. It's like, don't worry, it doesn't drop till October.
All right. Well, congratulations on that, man.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, Joel. So Dadcast, of course, is a podcast all about dads. So it's celebrating and interviewing other dads. And most of the time we are in the realm of, celebrities, whether it be sports, movies, athletes, Instagram stars. So we really like to celebrate what it is that is dad. Now, I mentioned to you off the air before we got on that we do try to stay on that topic for most of the episode, but sometimes, and by sometimes, I mean every single episode, we tend to go off the rails. So if we do not stick to just dads, just be forewarned, and we'll talk everything life and this whole journey it is for you.
I love it.
What is your two-year-old's name?
Kennedy,
2 years old, man. That is amazing. And being that you are, oh, and by the way, everyone out there, Joel Staley is a personal fitness guru. Before we get any farther along, Joel, where can people check out your stuff and your story and your journey when it comes to health and fitness?
JoelStaleyFitness.com is a good place. Otherwise, Instagram, Joel Staley Fitness will get you to me.
There you go. And I heard rumors, at least Nick told me, that Kennedy has joined you on some of these Instagram videos.
Yeah, so funny enough, when you get into fitness coaching, one of the first things you learn is that it's such a crowded environment that you really need to pick your niche of who you want to work with. And at the beginning, I was working, my 9-to-5 was for a transportation company. So I thought, all right, I'm going to work with truckers because I can just download the database. Now I have 100,000 emails of truckers. I'm starting off with a head start. But it didn't work out that way. And actually, around that time, we found out Amy was pregnant with Kennedy. And I was like, you know what? I mean, there's so many dads around Omaha, Nebraska, where I'm at. And I wanted to create a Facebook group because I knew that, I mean, I've seen plenty of friends that used to be in great shape. Eating good was a priority. You know, hitting the gym was a priority. And once you start getting some more responsibilities and building a family, those things fall by the wayside, whether it's due to lack of time or lack of focus, whatever it is. So I wanted to start a Facebook group and just hold myself accountable and be around other dads I knew that were still in shape. So I called it Dads Who Lift and just invited some of the guys I knew. And over the last 4 years, now it's blown up to we're like 51,000 dads in there. So
nice.
Yeah, it's blown up. But that's when I really got passionate about helping dads. And then once Kennedy came along, I saw like, oh, man, this is true.
Uh-huh.
In time, the meal prep, like that stuff, it takes sore when you're waking up three or four times in the middle of the night and just trying to keep your head on straight.
Yeah, yeah. The 3 a.m. workouts go out the window at that point.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Not for you, Nick.
No, no. I was at the gym at 4 a.m. today. So that doesn't happen all the time, but it's a.
Now, you posted, Nick, literally a couple days ago, and I haven't even mentioned this yet. I was actually saving it for this episode because it fits so perfect. You posted a video of one of our first vlogs or podcasts that we did about a year ago, and you said you weighed 290?
292.
Right, and then he posted it yesterday, 228?
217.
Wow.
And I can't, yeah, so
I've got a little bit of motivation here though. I challenged Josh Berkman to a fight. So it's kind of my motivation to get in shape, getting a little bit quicker is to not get my butt kicked by a UFC fighter.
Yeah. Well, we all know what's going to happen. You're going to get your butt kicked by a UFC fighter, but that deserves some serious congratulations. And honestly, I see you every day almost. Mm-hmm. And that is 60 pounds, if my math is correct. Yep. Doesn't look like you lost that much, man. It really hasn't. You didn't seem like that big of a guy to begin with. You're always, you know, thick and whatnot. But all right, good stuff.
Well, I took my shirt off when I was 292. It was gross. I've got like a 4-pack going. I'm not going to show you yet, but it's it's getting there. So
let me ask you something, Nick, because you said you got 292, and I've just noticed from taking thousands of calls at this point with you know, guys wanting to lose some weight, it's 290s is where people are like, okay, I do not want to see that 3 hit the scale. It's time to get some help. At the 292, were you like, all right, it's time to get serious here?
No, it was, but it was more of not so much the scale. It was more of I was tired and I have a 1-year-old. So trying to chase a 1-year-old around and you're almost 300 pounds, it's like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. I would make it till about 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, all right, it's nap time. I'm going to take a 2-hour nap with the baby. So at that point I'm like, okay, I'm going to start buckling down, adding more cardio, adding some MMA. I got a mountain bike. So I do 3 days a week mountain biking now, added in some jujitsu. And and then the weight training. So I'm hitting the weights for about an hour and a half, 2 hours every day. I'm doing 7 days a week now, hitting the weights and running. It was more of a just like, man, I'm so disappointed in myself. I can't believe I let myself get this bad. And my whole life, I've always been going to the gym. I boxed for a long time when I was younger. So it's like, what am I doing? And just decided, you know, I don't want my wife to wake up one morning and be like, why did I marry a 500 pounder? I'm like, I'm going to buckle down and knock it out and get it done. So now I feel great. Now I have lots of energy and chasing the baby around.
It's up on you in a blink, especially when you have a family and you're getting a podcast going and obligations. It's not like you, you see it steadily. It's almost like you look in the mirror one day and you're like, what the hell happened? It seems like overnight.
Yeah.
I just wish there was a way to not put in the work and lose weight. unfortunately, that's not it. That's my problem. It's not that I'm lacking any motivation. Nick, for the record, has been trying, you know, to get me, you know, if I tear down this beautiful green screen, you'll see that there's the instruments behind me to do so. So, you know, I've made the effort to actively start being a little more active and whatnot, but it's not about finding the time. It's about implementing it and, you know, pulling the trigger and doing it. Cause it's an excuse. You can always, there's 24 hours in a day, man. And anyone who says you do not have enough time, no, that's an excuse. So I guess I am chock full of excuses. I just haven't done it yet. I haven't gone that route and really implemented it. And well, I hope to.
Well, another reason I'm passionate about working with dads is because we don't have a lot of spare time. And, I noticed when I would go to the gym when we first had a baby that I was getting the side glare from my wife of like, okay, so you're going to work all
right
at night. So then you almost feel bad going. But the good news, JP, especially because you're talking about that, is it really is. I found 80 to 90% nutrition. Mm-hmm. So Nick's getting after it. He's working out 7 days a week, cycling, doing jujitsu. I mean, he's burning the candle at both ends, but I mean, honestly, I work with guys that they don't have time to get to the gym. And as long as their nutrition's dialed in, they can still lose 30, 35, 40 pounds in 90 days. And more importantly, gain the habits to keep it off.
Right.
So,
yeah, that was definitely the big thing for me, was switching up the diet too. Like,
yeah. So what do you do now, Nick? What's your diet look like, if you don't mind me prying?
It's dirty keto. So I cut out as much carbs as I possibly can. I still need a little bit just for all the extra, the cycling and the jujitsu, just to have the energy. But for the most part, if I have a hamburger, no bun. It's meat, lettuce, tomato. I eat a lot of meat, a lot of proteins, a lot of veggies. I cut out all soda, all alcohol. So I drink a lot of water. I'll have the occasional energy drink, but not very often.
Nice.
Yeah.
Working for you, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the big thing. That was like the hardest part of this whole training thing, was switching up the diet, going from like eating a box of Oreos every day to cold turkey, no Oreos, and going out to eat too. It's like, oh man, what am I going to eat at a restaurant now? It's like, do I get a hamburger? How do I fix the salad so it's going to be okay? You know, I'll order like 3 chicken breasts on a salad just so I'm getting extra protein. And so it's working. It was just a lot of messing around with it, trying to figure out what's going to work for me. Because like going straight keto, I did that a few years ago. It worked good, but then I gained everything back. So this is like, my body's not so shocked, but and I feel good on doing it this way.
Nice. Yeah, man. I mean, and how's the energy compared to when you were the 292, when you're keeping up with the 1-year-old? Noticeable difference for you?
It's 100% different. Yeah. Like so different. So yeah. I can get up at like 5 a.m. with him and we can go hard until he goes to bed at 8 o'clock.
Have you dabbled with any fasting at all? Because I know keto and fasting are just, they go hand in hand.
I do. So once a week, I'll do like a 5 or 6 hour fasting, and then I'll have like just a straight protein meal. That's it. I won't do any vegetables, no carbs, just protein and water. But other than that, I don't do it a whole lot. Nice. So I try to eat like every 2 hours, but like once a week though, I'll do like a 5 or 6 hour fast and then go for a bunch of protein and water, and then just kind of switch it up a little bit. I tried to do a cheat day and I just, my insides can't handle it.
It's like, yeah.
I was watching The Rock and I'm like, okay, you know, that dude's going to town on some cheesecake and some pancakes and stuff and some pizzas. And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. No. Nope.
Yeah. Man, he has a stack of pancakes like over.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had like a couple bites and I was so sick. I'm like, nope, this is not working for me.
Yeah. So a lot of fasting only because, well, A, there's a ton of health benefits. I won't get into all that. But going back to just the busyness of a dad's schedule, say it's your typical dad working a 9-to-5, comes home, and he's playing the dad role till bedtime. Then he might have like an hour or two to catch up on ESPN and then go to bed. Fasting is like, it's the one diet where you don't need to spend hours meal prepping or constantly be preparing. It's like, okay, I'm going to start a fast, bang, I'm doing it. As long as you have a plan. So mm-hmm. that really creates more time in your day, as opposed to like, okay, well, it's Sunday, it's 4 o'clock, I have nothing prepared for this week. Now I got to go to the store. I got to come home and cook everything. I got to throw it in containers. I got to like do all this stuff. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to start a fast, bang, like split second. So that's just given a lot of the dads that I work with a lot of time back and has made it more manageable. Not to mention, I mean, you just lose fat so damn quick compared to like if you're counting calories or something like that.
What is I mean, if you were to like write down a week on that schedule for a guy who wants to drop, let's just say 100 pounds as fast as possible. You don't want to do it fast the entire time, right? There's got to be some exercise involved there.
Yeah, you got to exercise for sure, because when you fast, you're going to lose weight fairly quickly. And to make sure that weight is coming from fat and not muscle, you want to lift some weights. You want to give your body a reason to hang on to your muscle. So now it's saying, all right, well, you know, JP's losing weight super quick, but he's also lifting weights 4 times a week. So let's hold on to the muscle and we'll dump this fat we don't use. So ideally, you want to get some exercise in, and that's just going to, you also get in ketosis like Nick's doing.
Right.
Because you burn through your carbs and then you just start burning fat for fuel instead. So it is so individualized. And that's why, I mean, when I first started coaching, especially with a group of 50,000, you know, dads in there, I thought that was, I was going to punch my ticket and be like, okay, if I can sell everyone a $40 cookie cutter program and only 10% of the people buy, I'm still living life high on the hog. But I found out very quickly that I, especially after naming my company Joel Staley Fitness, I didn't want to put my name on something that was just cookie cutter. It might work for you, it might not. So what we do, it is very individualized coaching. It's not just me, it's a whole team of experts. We're working with you every step of the way, planning as we go, because everyone is different. And some people like longer fasts and they love it. They have more energy, they're getting the results, and they're like, where's this been my entire life? And some people like the shorter fast. So it's just stuff we walk through you with.
Okay. And I'll get this just for the purposes of podcast. What is an example of like right in the middle of a fast?
I'll tell you this right now. I'm doing a 48-hour fast.
Okay.
So I ate Sunday night. We just got a pool in the backyard. So again, why I like fasting is it was family and friends over. All we did was order a couple pizzas, drank some Trulies and some whiskey out of the pool all day. And then like before I passed out at like 6:30 p.m., we ordered, I got like five tacos from the place down the street. So I'm not your typical fitness coach. You probably wouldn't right. too many saying that. But yeah, it was a day of drinking, eating pizza and tacos. And I like to start every week with a 48-hour fast, mostly because Mondays are by far my busiest day. I wake up early like Nick. I get to the gym, get that out of the way, and I work until about 5 p.m., just building the business. And then from 5 to 6, I have a coaching call. And from 6 to 7, I have a coaching call. So why I really like the 48-hour fast from Sunday night to Tuesday night is not only is it a great eraser from some poor choices I may or may not have made that weekend, but also I don't have to think about, oh, man, I have all this stuff to do Monday. When am I going to break my day apart and go plan all these meals in between? I can just be a workhorse all the way through. Spend an hour with my daughter before bedtime, and then go watch some Criminal Minds or something and go to bed the next day.
Now, after that 48 hours is up, you is it like an all-day eat, or is it one meal, two meals? How does the meal after the fast go?
Yeah, great question. So I typically, it's called OMAD, which stands for one meal a day.
Okay.
And I tried, and I did it for years, honestly, the you got to eat every 2 or 3 hours, but I found personally for me, the small meals were just enough to keep me hungry. And, you know, you'd eat it. And then an hour later, you're like, oh, man, I have another hour till I get to eat again. And again, if you run a business, then eating every 2 hours and planning your day around that isn't very predictable. Whereas if I do my 48-hour fast from Sunday to Tuesday and I work the majority of that time, and then I get to have a big meal, whatever I want, with the family Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday after work. And then, like I said, Saturday, Sunday is just whatever, because I know I'm hopping back into that 48 come Sunday night.
Gotcha.
Then that works really well for me. So 48, dinner every night with the family, just making sure I get a decent amount of protein with those. And then Saturday, Sunday is like, that's weekend time. That's time to enjoy yourself.
And in between is, I'm assuming, just mostly water?
Water. I'm a big black coffee drinker. I might throw in an energy drink if the water and black coffee is just getting monotonous. But yeah, it's usually coffee till about 2. Then I switch to water till dinner time.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about supplements? Are you?
I can do this. Supplements? I can do that.
No, the only supplements I take are pre-workout, and most of those are zero calorie anyway, right. So you don't even have to worry about that. Sometimes I'll take creatine. Sometimes I won't. Doesn't really matter. That's like $10. So If I remember, I'll take it. And then, like I said, I'll throw in like a protein shake, especially if, say, my wife makes spaghetti for dinner. And I'm like, okay, well, I need a little bit more protein than that. I'll throw in a protein shake on top of that. Like you, Nick, it sounds like I'm a pretty big carnivore. So even if we do have spaghetti, it's 50% meat, 50%
meat.
So I'm usually good there. But
yeah.
Besides pre-workout and protein and sometimes creatine, no, that's it.
Okay.
Have you found yourself having to completely restructure your whole schedule of fitness because of you had a child 2 years ago?
Man, it was funny. I not only just fitness, but I used to just coach people as far as fitness goes. It was like my side hustle to my, I told you I worked at the, in transportation. So I had a 9 to 5 and then I'd come home and I'd write meal plans and workout programs. And I'd do it before work too. And I'd work out over my lunch break, but it was actually Kennedy's first day at daycare where, dropped her off at daycare. I was running late for work cause I was stuck in traffic. I was thinking, okay, I need to get an oil change. The radio in my truck stopped working. The lawn needed mowed. And I was just like, almost like a borderline anxiety attack of like, okay, I'm going to my 9 to 5 to twiddle my thumbs until 4:30 or 5 o'clock. And then I have to go pick up Kennedy and be dad until 8. Like, when am I going to get any of this stuff done?
Right.
And that's when I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? It was a Wednesday. And I was like, I'm going to take off. I'm going to take off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to work from home on my fitness thing. See if I even like it. If I hate it, if I can't make any sales and nobody wants to work with me, I'm just going to put this to rest. I'm going to quit doing it. I'm just focused on my job. If I like it, I'm going to go all in with it. And so that was Wednesday. The next day was Thursday, which happened to be Valentine's Day. And the owner of the company called and he's like, hey, man, where are you at? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sick this week. And he's like, okay, well, when you come in Monday, I want to talk to you. So just come to my office. So I was thinking like, oh, I'm not going to be having that in the back of my head all weekend. So I was like, you know what, Matt, who we're great buddies, but I was like, you know what, Matt, actually, now that I got you, I got to tell you, it's time to either crap or get off the pot with this Joel Staley fitness thing. I think this is what I want to do. And guys, I was making no money
right
at the time. No, I made $3,000 in it my first year when I was just figuring it out. I made $10,000 the year prior and I'm quitting the 6-figure job, but I just knew like, okay, I don't have time to do this anymore. This is what I'm passionate about. I would much rather someday if I'm on my deathbed, know that I at least went for it and failed epically and pass out of myself than if I just said, you know what, I'll just stay comfortable and stay at my job and do the right thing. So I was like, Matt, why'd you have to call me today, man? It's Valentine's Day. I ruined my wife's Valentine's Day every year somehow, but this is going to take and yeah, sure enough, she wasn't too pleased about it, but here we are.
Well, there you go. It all worked out, man.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all because Kennedy, I mean, it's so different. You stop living for yourself once you start having kids and you got to prioritize them. And sometimes your hobbies and your passions and what you want to do falls by the wayside. And you either have to figure out how to make it work or you got to cut those things loose. And just in this particular case, I wasn't willing to cut it loose.
And now you got two more coming.
Yeah.
We got two more coming.
Oh yeah, man. Life's going to get even crazier for you.
It's crazy though with kids how the hustle, just like you get way more hustle when you got kids, you've got more that you want to do with your life than just do the 9-to-5 thing. Like I was doing furniture, selling furniture for 20 years and we started this podcast thing and then the last 6 months it's taken off quite a bit and COVID hit and things weren't working out with the furniture thing anymore, so I'm like, you know what, I'm going all in and hopefully it pays off because it is definitely scary to walk away. I was making like $7,500 a month at selling furniture and then COVID hit and obviously the supply chain died and there's no furniture, there's no appliances, there's nothing to get anymore. So,
well, there's a Jim Carrey motivational video. I think before he went crazy,
Jim Carrey motivational video.
Jim Carrey, yeah, he's giving like an acceptance speech and he's talking about his dad was an accountant his entire life. And he was always saying, hey, play it safe, find a job that's going to support you. And then his dad ended up getting fired from his accounting job and they were homeless for a little bit. And then Jim Carrey said, you know what, I want to make people laugh. And his big thing was you can fail at what you don't want to do, so you might as well take your best crack at what you do want to do. And that sounds like what Nick's talking about there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Well, and yeah, he's taking a few cracks at it. This is the one that's finally sticking though. right?
Yeah. Hey, that's part of the process too.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I have failed epically quite a few times. It's been worth it every time. I'm never going to wake up and be like, man, I wonder if that idea would have worked.
So. What I said about the deathbed thing too, funny you said that, Nick, because that was the other thought. I was like, okay, well, what kind of example am I setting for Kennedy if I just say, oh yeah, those were my dreams, but now I work at this office job doing what I'm not passionate about, but I'm doing it for you guys. Cause that's what dads always say, right?
Right. I'm doing it
for the family. And so now you're basically casting the blame on them their court when it's your decision. So I knew I would much rather have Kennedy 20, 30 years from now say, you know what, my dad made a lot of dumbass mistakes, but at least some balls to go for it.
Exactly. That's what I want my kids to look at me and say. So.
And they're gonna, man. Definitely. You're doing great. Man, there's a fly in my studio. And by studio, I mean my garage. And I shouldn't have let that door open. So if you see this happening, that's what's going on. I apologize.
I got to get a green screen. You're always in a multi-million-dollar mansion or a cool studio.
Oh, so you've actually, all right. So the man has watched. Man.
Yeah.
You know, we can always change it up for you. If you want to go to space with me, we can do that.
Oh. I know JP's got the greatest backdrops out of any podcast.
This is one of my favorite ones. This, you know, on the beach.
Yeah, that's nice.
Everyone
that's
asks, is it real? But you see right about here, that guy's not moving ever.
It's pretty convincing. Much cheaper too than I would assume a multi-million-dollar.
Yeah, in my New York City mansion apartment. I'm going to leave it on this one for a while. We'll stick with that. But yeah, you know, unless we want to eat here, and I don't do this for everyone, but here we go, Joel. Here we go. A peek into the real life. There's just a little green screen right in front of what we're doing here.
Yeah, we're getting real on here.
You want to get it.
Yeah.
I always like doing that for Nick.
Happening. Yeah.
But Nick just got a new car too, so he's good.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, we're going to need one too with the twins. We got to change basically everything. We just got this house about a year ago and we're about a room short now, so just got to change. House might need to change.
I've been thinking the same thing for the past 7 years. Now, I have three children, a 16-year-old. She's my stepdaughter. And my almost 11-year-old son. He will be 11 in 3 days on Friday. And my baby girl, 8. 16-year-old splits time with us and her dad. They've got a great relationship, which is in a perfect world, that's what you want. We have the perfect world. He's got a good dad. She's got her mom and myself over here. So she got, you know, basically two dads, but she's spending more time over there lately. And it's okay. You know, she's almost 17 now. She's nearing adulthood. But that room is just kind of sitting there all the time. And brother and sister are sharing a room. What?
I'm thinking podcast studio, buddy. Air conditioning.
She just got moved to the garage and she doesn't
even. Oh, man. Spring and winter, or excuse me, fall and winter are coming, dude. It'll be all right. Once that fall and winter hit in here, then I'll be in the hoodie with the heater on and it's way better. But, or we could actually, you know, utilize the studio that we have.
Exactly.
But they're sharing a room and it was fine, but for the last year or so, my son is starting to get to that point where he's like, Dad, I kind of want my own space. And any time baby girl goes into her room, he freaks out because it's his room. I was like, no, it's both your room. I know you spend most of the time in here, but so anyway, yeah, long story.
All the Victoria's Secret catalogs are going missing.
We're not there yet. I think we're on the precipice of this. 11 years old, okay? The man's turning 11 on Friday. I'm starting to see a little bit of darkening of the peach fuzz up here. Oh, we're close, man. We're real close to that whole adventure. Gosh. Oh, man. But yeah,
off as long as possible.
We need more space. We need more house. And yes, twins. Do we know gender yet or is it too early?
No, that's what I was going to say. So, I mean, we're blessed either way, but God willing, give us a boy in the group here.
Okay. There you go. See, I got lucky. Really, like I said,
really testing me.
Two shots. First born was the son. Second was the girl. We're good. You know, I won the lottery right off the gate. Two to go. Yeah. And it's been an amazing trip. It's so wouldn't change it for the world. But twins.
It really is. It's crazy. But I've always been someone that everyone's always talking about finding their why or, you know, their purpose. And, of course, I want to helping people hit their fat loss goals and changing lives that way. There's very few things better than that to me. But at the end of the day, having a daughter, especially, I mean, that's all I have right now. But she just melts my heart. As soon as she came, I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing it all for. And now it's so crystal clear that it almost makes sense why I didn't have one before she came along. But it's so unreal. And we were, you know, me and my wife, Amy, were always the people that we had a dog and we thought that we loved our dog as much as people love their kid.
No. So, yeah,
get out of here.
You Tim. Thought you did. And that's yeah. the funny thing about pet parents. Oh, right. That don't
but
have
now
kids.
We hear other people talking about it and we're like, you don't even get it.
Yeah.
Like,
but try having that argument with them until they, you know what right. I mean? It's like, you just, all right, you know what? I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah,
we're going to agree to disagree, and you will one day maybe understand. Because
exactly.
Don't get me wrong, I love my wiener dogs to death. They're two of them hanging out right in there. But all right. I don't know. I'm probably not going to jump in front of a bullet for my wiener dog. But my kid, yeah.
Right, yeah. If they bite one of your kids, they're getting thrown out of a window.
No. Right, exactly. Flying wieners in Southern Oregon, beware. Can't wait for that headline.
Yeah, it's unreal. There's no experience like being a dad.
It's nuts. And especially the dad of a daughter. And son, I know you're going to watch this episode again when it drops and you're going to come to me again and say, Dad, do you like Avery more than me? No, it's a different kind of love that I cannot even fully explain to you until you become a father yourself. And one day you'll understand. But yeah, being a father to a son, which, you know, God willing, cross some fingers for you, man. All absolutely amazing, completely different, just feel and completely different. You know, it's, you push them harder. It's the whole, I want you're the last of the bloodline, the whole
right
thing. But then
the daughter, you're like, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to show you how a man should treat you. Like you're my princess. And then the boy, you're like, all right, I need to toughen you up.
Yeah, go kick ass, boy. It's like, yeah.
I'm out in the world.
It's crazy. Exactly. But I'm glad I got both so I can navigate much, much easier because I've experienced both. And it's just great. It's amazing. And little girls getting too big too quick. Enjoy these. And it's the cliche. You've heard it before. She's only 2 years old, but man, she's going to be 8 years old like that. And it's going to be like
crazy. We had one of the time hop videos hit my Facebook just yesterday of us at the zoo. And I was like, that was 2 months ago. Wasn't that this summer? And no, it was a year ago.
Right.
She had a bink in her mouth. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. My time hop.
It's crazy.
My time hop yesterday, Nick, was literally not even in the house I'm at now. It's in the first apartment we had before we moved into the house. Avery was probably 3 or 4 months old. And I walk in the house, mom's working, and she's in her rocker, and she's asleep. And then I pan over to the couch, and my son's asleep, and he's probably 4 or 5 at the time. And not even 3 or 4. And then I pan to the TV to Call of Duty, because it was double XP weekend, and I was getting my video game on, and the kids finally fell asleep early. And I looked at it, and just, man, how I've changed, because I don't play very much video games anymore. I'm too busy for that. There's better things to do. But I like them, don't get me wrong, but just 6 years, just a matter of 6 years, how things have changed.
That's crazy.
And even though I don't play video games and sit on the couch as much, I'm still a fat ass. I don't get it. I gotta do some fasting.
Because I think, all right. So 10 years ago, I was just about to get out of the Navy. I was on submarines in the Navy.
Cool.
I was drinking like 4 Locos and like partying every night. Smoking cigarettes, typical young 20s veteran hanging out with his buddies. And then 10 years later, now we have almost 3 kids running a business, still figuring everything out. So just looking at that 10-year time hop, sometimes it trips me out like, okay, well, I mean, if things keep this way, what's the next 10 years going to look like? And it's like almost hurts my head to think about.
Well, just your kids are older, man, and more progress, more moving forward. You know, is yeah. if 10 years from now you are just in myself excluded, this isn't advice for you. This is literally advice for me and anyone watching this or listening to this. If you are ahead 10 years than you were 10 years ago, in even one step, it may not be the progress you wanted, but it's better than going backwards, right?
That's right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I should apply that. You know, it's easy for me to say. Easy to say. Is it easy to do? Absolutely not, man. And that's why I applaud you for what you do and helping dads out there. You know, like I said, we got to talk. We got to figure something out, man, because, you know, if I just had it laid out in front of me, you know what I need is I wish I had enough money to hire Joel to live at my house with his family to get me up, boot camp my ass, tell me what to do every single day, beat me up out of bed, eat this, do it now, work out, do this, let's go to bed for like 1 year, get me on track, I'm in. That's what I need.
That'd be fun for about 2 days.
Right?
Kicking me out.
So I know that won't work, but that's kind of what I need. Not you know,
Tone down. I think what you need is you just give it 2 weeks. Just stay focused. Once you've got it and you're going for 2 weeks, it's going to become ingrained in you.
Right.
And like, if you're like everybody I've ever trained with, you're going to like regret not getting up and going after 2 weeks. That's how everybody I've ever trained with it's gone. It's like, I've worked with a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't have the motivation. And then once they get that motivation, holy crap, dude, it's like,
yeah.
It's a game changer. It's unreal.
Like I feel found like in my years of doing this, there's really three things that make the big difference. And those are nutrition, accountability and support. While you're getting that momentum, like you were talking about, Nick. And then the big one is sustainability and knowledge. So, I mean, it's one thing to lose weight, right? But like earlier you did keto, you worked so hard and then next thing you know, it's right back. I mean, right. Happens to 95% of people.
Yeah.
That goes back to nutrition. If you've been, say you're 40 years old and you've been eating a certain way for 40 years, and then you hire me and I say, okay, well, forget all that forget the last four decades. I want you eating oatmeal for breakfast, chicken and rice for lunch, like a salad for dinner and a protein shake. Matt, how long do you honestly think you're going to do that?
2 days.
But during your 90-day challenge, but then what do you think you're going to do on day 90 or day 91 when you haven't had any pizza or any tacos or wings or nachos or alcohol in 90 days? You're going to go off the deep end, and then it comes right back. Mm-hmm. Nutrition, the sustainability, and then JP, you're talking about living with you, the accountability and support.
Yeah, that's mine. That's my big one.
Crucial, and that's why we have a great community of dads who are not only do they have similar struggles, they're in the exact same boat. So it's like a team effort instead of you just saying, all right, mind over matter, I got to conquer this by myself and figure this out. Now you're part of a team who's going to help guide you, and they might slip up, but they're going to hold you accountable, and people latch on to each other and form groups. Just having the accountability and making it a team sport as opposed to just a self-challenge until you get the momentum going and until you have the knowledge to sustain it. That's been the big thing. Cause I used to do one-on-one coaching and people weren't getting results like this because they found out they could disappoint me a couple months in. They're like, oh, the world didn't end. Like who cares? I can eat some pizza. But when you make it bigger than yourself, it just seems like we can go further together.
Write that down. That's a good quote. I like
jiu-jitsu so much. You get that whole community of.
Oh, like, yeah.
When I started doing it, I was like, man, this is a bunch of douchebags. This is going to be so fucking weird. And the guys were so nice and like so supportive that I was just completely shocked. I'm like, this is unreal. Like this whole community is, and every person that does jiu-jitsu, doesn't matter which place they're training at, they're all the same. Like I haven't met one guy that's just a total jerk yet. So it's. And just
that's it. Especially as a dad, you have a wife and then you have a bunch of kids running around.
Yeah.
Where do you get to talk about like stuff you would talk to with your guy friends or in groups of other men? You need an outlet like that. Otherwise, I mean, I'll just say you tend to get a little soft when you're just hanging out with your wife and your kids all the time. You don't have a group of guys that you still get to talk to and relate to.
Right.
I mean, that alone, whether it doesn't have to be my program, but networking groups, listening to this podcast is huge. Just anything you can do to be around other men are in a similar boat that have kids and obligations and responsibilities and ambition like you guys for starting this. I mean, that right there is massive, in my opinion.
How tall are you, Joel?
6 foot.
6 foot. And how much do you weigh?
188.
6 foot, 188. See, that's, I'm 5'10", 5'10 and a half-ish. Definitely not shorter than that, Nick. 185 is my ideal, I think. And I'm like 265 right now, maybe a little bit more. And I've been this weight for a while. It doesn't go up. It does go down. You know, I've applied myself a few times and got down to like 230, 240. No problem. Like easy peasy. I just put my mind to it. I did it. The fact was I didn't sustain it. I got right there and was like, and I can't put my finger on what happened. It wasn't like, I'm just going to stop doing what I do. It was this one thing that day, and then 2 days later, it was this other thing that I wasn't supposed to do that I did. And then all of a sudden, a month later, I'm like, I have stopped everything that I was doing, and now I've gained 15 more pounds back. I've done that so many times. So it's not a matter of me not wanting to. It's a matter of accountability and sustainability. And it's time, because I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40 now. And we gotta get this into gear.
That's why I like the fasting too, is because, so say you're following some meal plan, everything, all the diets out there are very black and white. You're either doing it or you're not doing it. Like, you're keto, you're not having carbs. If you're meal prepping, you can't have dinner with your family or whatever. If right, you're counting calories, you have to, it's a full-time job. Fasting is literally, it's just like a knob instead of a switch. All of those are switches, on and off. Fasting is like, if you can picture it, 0 to 10, 10 is very aggressive. So like, say, okay, yeah, I'm 260. I want to get down to 185. I want to do it quick. I'm going to get aggressive. But then you don't, it's not like you have to keep doing it, because that's aggressive fat loss mode. You can now dial that down to a 2 or a 3, skip breakfast a couple times a week, or throw in a 48 once a week like I do when it matches your schedule, or even once or twice a month. And then maintenance is so much easier than having to be perfect to whatever diet you're sticking to. So that's why, at least I found that this method is sustainable, because you sharpen your teeth in the initial few months when you're taking the aggressive approach. And then when you dial it back, you're like, oh, wow, this
is walking a park.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to cut out any of your favorite foods or beer at night or anything like that. You just, all right, well, to 180. I promise myself, if I see 195 on the scale, I have a game plan exactly how to get back down to 180, execute that, rinse and repeat.
All right. I love it. I'm more motivated than I have been in a while, Mick. Just saying.
another trick I found too, involving the kids in the workout. So like, my baby loves working out with me. So like, we'll do the heavy bag at night. He'll come in the other room that we have set up for that. I'll let him hit it a few times, and I'll put him in his high chair, and he'll yell at me and keep me motivated. It's kind of fantastic. Man, or going for a walk around the block with the kids is another.
That's good, so thing. Important too, man. I think about this all the time too. My dad was the first one to take me to the gym, and he had a good physique when I was a young kid. And I was like, man, all my friends' dads kind of look out of shape. My dad looks like the superheroes I see on the Saturday morning cartoons. How do I do that? And so I was 8 or 9 years old, and I'm like, hey, how do I get muscles? He's like, well, just go do some push-ups and sit-ups. So I did those a little bit. And finally, a couple of years later, he took me to the gym with him, and then I started seeing, you know, the women in the yoga pants and like all the girls there, and I was like, oh my God, does my mom know that my dad's coming here this place? But it wasn't. If he wasn't into fitness, then I would have never got into it, and then who knows where I'd be. So I think setting that example, again, goes back to dads. It's just – it's very important. And
yeah,
I think dads, we talked about following your dreams. I think fitness is the same thing. We're the leader of the pack, in my opinion. Some people might not agree with that always, and it's not always true, but we got to set the example and try to set the bar high.
The fact just now that you even had to put a disclaimer on that.
I hate it, man.
God, you know, right? Yes, you're the leader of the pack, man. And if you're not, and if you're watching this and you did just got triggered for some reason, stop it. In your case,
that may be
the case, and that's fine. In our case, in this particular story right here happening as we speak, that... God,
anyway. We live in a new time, man.
It is just.
I'll be like, hey, yeah, that podcast went good. And I'll see a headline, Joel Staley Fitness canceled for.
Right. Joel Staley, anti-feminist. It's what? It's. Hey, Nick.
Yo.
It's time for Fast Five. Go.
All right, let's do it. Okay. Number one, tips for dudes over 40 that want to work out.
That's not a question.
Tips for dudes over 40? I would say it's just like my dad told me when I was 7. Start small. If you can't do a couple push-ups, set a push-up challenge. Say, you know what, I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day this week. You do that for 7 days consistently. All right, now I'm going to add 100 sit-ups on top of that and just steadily increase it. And next thing you know, you're going to be addicted to it. It's going to be part of your routine, and then you can start slinging some iron around with the big boys.
Nice. I like it. Favorite training routine?
I like push-pull legs. So you're training everything twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Which
seems to be optimal. And the only downside of that is that you got to hit legs twice a week, which no one likes.
See, I do full body every day. So,
okay. That's also solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite cheat day food?
Well, I tacos, I could eat Mexican food every single day. So tacos seems to be the most convenient. I can just wrap it up and throw it in my mouth in a taco. But any Mexican food, and you can bet I'm crushing it.
I'm right there with you. Sorry, Nick. So that was three. I have to interrupt. How in God's name is taco considered unhealthy? I mean, seriously, protein, some vegetables. What's the problem?
I guess
is it because you eat 75 of them at a sitting?
It's frowned upon, but yeah, I'm right there with you.
So the big thing is, I was previous baby mama family owns some Mexican restaurants. They cook their meat in lard, so that's why it tastes so much better. Right. If you cook at home, you're good. But if you're getting it from a restaurant, it's typically cooked in lard. So
like all the protein, like a carne, like a asada.
Like 9 times out of 10, it's cooked in lard. They cook pretty much everything. They're refried beans. Big scoops of lard are in the refried beans. The meat's cooked in lard.
Oh, man, you know, I should never have told me that.
Yeah.
I will say the foil that our tacos come in are always super greasy, but I don't get those to be healthy. I get them because I like tacos.
Because I make a mean mahi.
Delicious, right?
I make the fish tacos, and as I'm cooking it, I'm going, there's nothing wrong here. There's literally nothing wrong. It's all from scratch, mahi blackened, southern Florida style. Yes.
Usually, like, cooked at home, the worst thing is the tortilla. That's all the carbs right there. Everything else is halfway decent. So.
Yeah, but even in the tortilla, that's just carved up. Okay, sorry, Nick.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. Number four, what makes you feel inspired? I think we've already kind of talked about that, but that's my fourth question. So,
feel inspired. I mean, seeing my clients get results, that's the best, because by the time guys are so stubborn, man. Like women are, I think, 80% of the consumers. They want help right away. They might try one or two things and then they're like, you know what, I need help. But guys, man, we gotta look under every stone and search behind every crevice before we finally get to a bad enough place where, like, all right, maybe I do need a coach, maybe I do need help. So by the time someone comes to me, they've already tried a plethora of other things. Hell, they've probably been trying for 30 years. So when I can finally, 90 days later, get them on the testimonial or just talk to them and they're like, man, like, you don't understand. I've been trying to do this forever. I finally feel like I got a hold of this thing. I feel like a new man. Like you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, Nick, I have energy to spend with my kids. Life's good. That's what inspires me.
Cool. Okay, this is my favorite question. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Billboard with anything on it? Man, that is a solid question. I mean, selfishly, I would have to make it joelstaleyfitness.com, book a call now, but...
The close-up of your abs?
Huh?
The close-up of your abs?
Yeah. Billboard of anything? You know... probably a motivational quote that said, I've been thinking about one lately. I heard it a few weeks ago and it seems to keep popping up, but success loves speed. So that would be my motivational quote on my, my billboard. Success loves speed.
Oh, we'd rather have to come up with a different way to term that in Southern Oregon, though. There's a lot of meth. There's a lot of drug use here. It just
that's funny.
Oh man,
success loves swiftness. Success loves acceleration. Meth. You know what I mean? Not meth. No. No.
Oh man.
All right. Good one. Good one. If I were to throw in a JP's Furious, any number of questions, it would be like real quick here. Are you a sports fan?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite football team?
Nebraska.
Ooh, you went college. Pro.
Oh, shit, I don't watch pro anymore.
Okay, fair enough. You are trapped on an island with no possibility of escape, but somehow there is literally an entertainment center with a DVD player and electricity. But there's only one TV show or movie you can watch the rest of your life, and it could be an entire series. What is it?
No question, Rocky.
Rocky. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. That's one of my favorite memories ever. My dad took me. My dad passed away about 12 years ago now. Rocky III, I saw in the theater. Mr. T coming back. I was 80. I was like seven or eight. And old school movie theater. The back of the chair in front of you had a metal plate on it. And I had bloody knuckles at the end. And my dad didn't. He just let me go because I was just so excited and punching that damn thing. And, oh, yeah, Rockies, those are great. I could do without Rocky V, but
it's funny. I'll be saying a similar story at my dad's funeral because I've had to have watched the Rocky series, all of them, at least 20 times. And at least 10 of them have been with my dad. And again, we were doing push-ups on the floor during the montage.
Yeah. Okay. Now that leads into a question that I never would have ever thought to ask you, but because of your answer, it's this. Favorite Rocky montage? Which one?
Rocky IV. Because
they're different. Yes! Friggin' Russia. All right. Hills, the mountains, and the growing the beard, and the friggin', the push-ups from the ceiling, the sit-ups from the ceiling. I would agree.
You know, it's a close second one, though. I think... Is it Rocky III? Where
if you like short shorts and running on the beach.
No, it's Rocky II. Adrian's pregnant. And
when?
And he's like, what can I do?
When?
Like, when? And then all of a sudden he's finds
all right.
That gets me every time, too.
All right. Good stuff, man. Well, I had more, but that's amazing. I love it. Joel Staley, fitness trainer extraordinaire, Instagram star, one hell of a model American and an amazing dad. Thank you for being on Dadcast, man.
You guys are doing God's work. I appreciate you.
We are glad you came along. And if there is any wisdom that little old myself could impart and Nick as well, is while you got 2 years in, man, you got 2 years in and a lifetime to go. It's remember that every single day, even when they're adults, it's still a learning experience, man. And it's a beautiful thing. Just suck it all up, man, like a sponge.
I will.
Build yourself an extra house on your property, too, for when they become teenagers, because you're going to want to hide. It gets rough.
Didn't Brett Young do that? No. They built an extra house to put his music awards or something. Oh, a closet for his wife. It's literally a house. A closet the size of my house for his wife's clothes. Well done over there. one more time, you guys can check out Joel's information if you're interested. Dads, if this is something that has touched you, maybe inspired you to get your ass in gear like it kind of has me, we'll see. Check out joelstateleyfitness.com. Check him out on Instagram and give the man a call. I guarantee he can help you out. Again, Joel, you're the man. Thank you for coming on Dadcast. We hope to have you back on in the future. And as a matter of fact, you know what, Nick? It's never too early. I'm going to start doing it now. Father's Day Special Part 2 comes up in a year.
That's right.
Joel, are you in?
I'm in, baby.
Absolutely. And by then, there might be a couple of new twin babies rolling around, yeah, man, who we can talk about.
Might be a little bit louder in the background then, but.
Nice. Excellent.
Juggling babies over here.
We'll dial it in. All right, man. Thank you very much. Joel, it's been a pleasure. Everyone else, thank you for checking things out. Make sure to, you know, like, subscribe, do all the good stuff. In fact, as a matter of fact, if you have a question for Joel, go ahead and type that down below. And if you're listening to it, head over to YouTube and you can see how beautiful all of our faces are. Joel's, most importantly, over ours. Good talk. And we'll see all of you next week. Thank you, Joel. Thanks, guys. Nick, see you later, man.
See ya.